Hello, hello, we're back. This is Juan with What's On Your Mind. I got a ex-buddy, Navy pal of mine right here.
Ex-buddy, I'm still your friend, man.
Yeah. Ex-Navy buddy, buddy.
After this, we might not be friends.
You know, Gregory, Greg LeCon, you know, how long we know each other?
I'd say since about 90, when did you get to the ship, 94 or 95?
Jesus Christ, I didn't even know what I did yesterday, and you're asking me about
it. You didn't do the first med, though.
No.
So you came, you went to St. Martin.
No, I didn't.
You missed St. Martin?
Yeah, I missed St. Martin.
Oh, you missed a good time.
Yeah, I know. Who was there with you?
Everybody except for you.
Shit.
Yeah. The whole crew except for you, basically.
I got to the USS America in 1996.
We got out in 96.
No, impossible.
I got out in 96.
You got actually out a year before me.
Which was December of 96.
So remember, because y'all were in the barracks. We used to hang out in the barracks.
Right. That was in 96.
L1.
Because Gregory was born in 96. That's the year I got out.
Yeah, I remember that.
So you had to come in the ship. Because the first med, I got there in 93. We went on the med in August of 93, came back in February of 94, and then St. Martin was right after that. So I think you came in the workups of 94.
Okay.
It had to be. Yeah, it's 94. So okay, since 94, so what's
so
that?
So we know what, 25 years?
I don't know. Get a,
wow. Get a, no, I ain't even.
Get a calculator. Google it.
Right now, you gave me one too many. Cerveza.
94 to 2020. What's that? 26 years.
So 20. Okay, 25. Oh, yeah, about 25. Yeah, 26, okay, just say about 25 years. We were on the USS America, which was the aircraft carrier.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were an airman.
Airman. I was a aircraft firefighter and crash and salvage.
So what was your like? Yeah. What did you have to? You worked on the aircraft on.
I worked on the flight deck.
Okay.
And my job was to put out. If an airplane came in and crashed on the flight deck, I drove a fire truck that would drive up to the scene, jump out. We were supposed to get the pilots out if possible.
You still remember? Damn.
Yeah.
24 years. We got our research.
Yeah, our researcher.
Fact checker.
Victor over here, right? So, and get the pilots out if possible and extinguish the fire before it spread to other airplanes on the flight deck, which would cause a bigger disaster and a bigger fire, basically.
So when we were in the America together, I was only there for about a year. Then it decommissioned. How long were you on the America before I got there?
I was on the America since 93 to, I want to say,
it decommissioned in 96, right?
March. I got to the America in April of 93, and then it decommissioned, which I, funny enough, stood the last watch.
Really?
Yeah. And the September of 96. So about 2.5, almost 3 years.
So I only spent a year. Because when I got my orders, they told me I was going to the USS Never Dock. I'm like, what is the USS Never? No, yeah. I was naive, ignorant. So when I got there, it was funny. When I got to Norfolk, I got to the to the USS America, right? We actually had to leave 2 weeks later because of the hurricane.
Right.
And then we pulled back into
pulled
port.
Back in, right.
And then we had to leave again to for the 6 month med cruise. Yeah.
Were you there when the boiler blew up?
No.
You got there, right? So that was 94.
Yeah, and I was a boiler technician, so I don't think I would have made it if it blew up.
No, nobody died. Nobody died. Because, funny enough, everybody was skating off.
Well, skating
basically means you're not at work. Like, they tell
playing
you.
Playing hooky, basically.
Playing hooky from
playing
school.
Hooky.
Yeah, from your job. So if they say, okay, go check the boilers. You're in the mess deck, like go get
mess
food
deck is basically the cafeteria.
The cafeteria.
They just give it, you know what it is?
Right.
They give it fancy names.
Right.
So like, I was a boiler technician machinist mate, which was basically the superintendent for a ship.
Right.
You know?
So everything was weird, like water fountain was scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt.
Or remember you have to like
mess specialist was a cook.
Yeah, a cook. So my title was aviation bosun's mate, but I was in a division called crash and salvage. Was basically the firefighter of the flight deck.
What was the worst thing you saw on the deck? Like I know because you did a lot of training, but what was something that you really saw that was like that?
I mean, a few things stick out. I mean, in actual firefighting action, we had a S3, and the landing gear in the front, which they call a nose gear, collapsed when it touched down. So it basically came, and it landed, but the front wheels broke off.
Okay.
So it basically slammed onto the flight deck. Instead of it, you know how you've been up there. So yeah, we would catch and it would come back and retract and they go park it. Basically came.
Which is the cable.
Right. The rusting gear is the cable that catches the airplane. So it basically slammed on the flight deck. Like you heard, boom. So everybody's, you know, you hear like all the sirens go off and they
Because if something happens up there, you can hear it.
Yeah, you hear, boom.
You hear the vibrating.
Right. So, funny enough, I was off at that time because we worked 12-hour shifts on, 12-hour shifts off. And I was on days during that time. It was the nighttime shift. And I was sitting there probably watching pornos or something. like we all did, right? In the burgers.
Dude, I can't edit that. This is uncut.
But that's what we did. We got video because we had VHSs back then. So
you did that. I was a choir boy.
Yeah, okay. So, you hear
VHS
that?
VHS is wild.
We have VHSs back then.
Tape. And
my berthing is where you sleep. It's like your bunk or your barrack on the ship.
And the rack is the bed.
The rack is the bed. So, we're sitting there, like I said, probably watching X-rated films. And you hear this loud,
much
boom. So, it's like, we know what it sounds like when a normal plane lands.
Yeah.
Because we sleep under it all day.
Yeah, but you guys had to get used to sleeping
once
that
you
noise.
Work 12-hour shifts.
It was like sleeping underneath an airport.
Exactly. It's like sleeping underneath where the airplanes land in the airport. And you know the difference in sound because you hear you hear the normal, boom.
Yeah.
And then you'd hear the cable that catches it, you'd hear it retract.
Okay.
So it was like a boom and then a click, 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 click. It was just a boom. And then, so there's a station that you can watch the flight deck. So we turn to the station because something sound right, and then you just see this thing in the middle of the landing area. I was about to say L.A. In the middle of the landing area, a bird, these are old Navy terms, a bird in the middle of the L.A., and all those firemen, you kind of click into your program. Click and you're like, oh. So we all went and got...
Because I trained for it,
right.
Once a week or twice a week?
All day, 12 hours, man.
Really?
We were out there constantly training. Like, when we're not on... be off and you're doing training and hooking up gear and, preparing for the worst, which is what happened. And we ran upstairs. We grabbed our float coats, life jackets, ran out there. So an aircraft carrier is a floating airport.
Okay.
So there were still birds, airplanes. There's still birds. I'll talk in Navy talk. They'll figure it out, right? There's still birds in the air at the time. So we have to get those birds back safely.
Right,
so they're circling. They might run out of fuel. I don't know how far off land we were, so they might not have been able to make it back. So our job was to get that bird out of the landing area as fast as possible.
Because you had other birds
in the air. In the air. So they said we did it in record time. We were told.
They lied to you, but go ahead.
Exactly. So what we had to do was get what's called a tilly. The tilly was basically a crane that's on the flight deck. So they drove the tilly above the S3 that's in the middle of the landing area, and then you have to hook up this special hoisting cables that have on top of the airplanes. You have hoisting points where you have to hook these up, and they have to be put to a certain degree so you don't rip the airplane apart when it lifts it. So we all jumped on top, got everything down, got out the landing area, put it off to the side, and then the last few airplanes came in.
Yeah.
And they didn't even give us an award for that. I feel gypped. That's sad, you know why? And this
I was
is
getting
funny.
In trouble a lot in the Navy. Mm. I still got a NAM award, which is the Navy
Achievement
and Marine
Medal.
Achievement Medal.
You know why they said we didn't get an award?
Why?
Because we did our job. But it's if you look at it, it's the truth. We didn't do anything special.
But that's the reason I got the award, because I did my job.
What did you get the NAM for?
Oh, because I, what was it, for the SSDG, which is, I worked in the boiler room.
Right.
And I actually worked on the SSTG, which is the Ship Service Turbo Generator, which provides electricity throughout the ship.
Oh, okay.
So I used to run that, even like first class petty officer, which means they were your supervisor.
Right.
Higher ranking than me. I was an
E3? You never made petty officer, did you?
No, I did, but I got out before that.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
What happened was, which I spoke on my last podcast, I took my mentality from the Bronx into the Navy. So I went from E1 to E2. Mm-hmm. To back to E1.
Oh, so you got bust down?
Yeah, because I went to captain's mess.
For what, fighting?
All the time. And then I went back to E2 to E3, and then back to E2.
You got busted down twice?
Twice. And then I went to E3, and I almost got busted back a third time, but they gave me the NAM 2 weeks before.
And you got capped.
No. What happened was they stood there, I'm like, what are we going to do with you? Right. We're like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Yeah. If we bust you down, we look stupid because we just gave you the NAM 2 weeks before. So they didn't bust me down for that.
See, that's cheeks. this is Juan, right? This is Juan. That's cheeks that he's talking
about.
And
I think that when I was working in the domestic, that's how, I think, who introduced Mike, right? No. Mike Butts?
No, Shay introduced us.
No, I think I met Mike.
You might have met Mike, but Shay made the introduction because Shay was like, yo, it's my boy from the Bronx, Chico.
Yeah.
And I was like, Chico? He was like, yeah, just call me Cheeks. It's a nickname. But you never introduced yourself to me as Juan. Like,
yeah, but I was like 18 years old.
So right. So it was like, yo, what's up, son? Yo,
Cheeks. No, I never spoke that
that's
way.
Larry, right?
No, that was Larry. Larry.
Yeah, rest in peace. But I guess getting back to, we were off the coast of Haiti. Did you make the Haitian?
No, see? You remember so you came with after, 2 years. So you, I came that last year. And then we were decommissioned.
You came for the second med. You made the second med when we went to Italy.
I made two, yeah.
Okay.
I did two tours with the
You did one med with us, and then you did the med with the Nassau.
Yes.
Med is a Mediterranean cruise, which is a 6-month deployment into the Mediterranean Sea.
Not really a cruise, trust me.
But no.
Because you work 18. Oh, my God. I got, you know, when I first got there, and this is gonna show that I was a punk when I was in the military, kind of. When I got there the first time and I went out to sea, even during the hurricane, it was rocking that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that hurricane, too.
So they had to give me the seasick pill.
Yeah. They didn't put those patches?
No. Okay. Would they have patches?
Yeah, some people had the patches.
Oh, no, I didn't know. I had the pill.
Because you're Hispanic. That's why.
Yeah, probably. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Let him suffer. He's used to the water, right? He's used to the water,
He's
right?
used to taking pills, too.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I got... Before that, I was in the boiler room, and as it was shaking, I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. And
I was
because you like, feel everything down there.
I was whining like a little girl. Yeah. Like, why am I doing here? I need my mommy. Yeah, at 18, I thought I was hard, and then I was 18. I'm like, I need
the first med. You weren't there. We were off the coast of Bosnia, and the waves were coming on over the ship. So you've seen the Intrepid before.
Yeah.
Our ship was actually higher than the Intrepid.
Yeah, because the Intrepid was a
small crack carrier for the time. The waves were coming over the ship, and it actually busted out the I can't remember port and starboard, the right side catwalk, the entire catwalk is when you come off the flight deck and you walk down. There's
it's almost like a balcony.
It's a balcony where you can walk.
Yeah.
Right, a walkway
on the side of the ship.
On the side of the ship, and the wave knocked the whole thing out so bad we had to pull in to Trieste again. Oh god, I hate that place.
Trieste, Italy?
Yeah, Trieste, Italy.
Hold on.
Been four times.
Didn't Shay had good memories there, or was it Greece?
I think we all had good memories everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
But that was the worst waves I've seen. And like a dummy, me and my boy Tone, we went, of course, we're stupid, 17, 18. Yo, we want to see. So we went all the way to the front, to the, what is it called, the forecastle?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's the folks.
All I know is the forward, the aft.
Yeah,
it.
We went all the way to the front, and we was like, we're going to open the door. So we undogged it. Yeah, dog it down.
You know more than I don't remember anything.
So we opened the door, and there's waves. Boom! Oh, shit. And we slammed the door back and ran. Yeah, we had to get the fuck out of there. But that was, I think, the worst we've seen. And people were falling out of their racks on that.
Yeah.
Like, literally falling out of their beds.
Hold on. What people don't know, that when you on a rack, you actually had, I don't know if you would call it seatbelt, was restrained. Yeah, you had a restraint. Yes.
We didn't have it.
Because if you're sleeping.
Especially on the top rack.
No, because if you're sleeping and the boat is rocking, you can fall off your rack.
Right.
Maybe it was on the top rack, because I had always the. Because they give me the bottom one because I was
vertically challenged.
Guys, I'm not short. I'm vertically challenged.
Right, right.
Big difference.
So, but people, I always had the top right for some odd reason. A lot of people didn't like it.
The restraint.
We didn't have that. Not in Alberta.
They didn't care about you.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, but
And then you said how long were you in the Navy?
4 years. Well, almost four. I got an early out because the ship decommissioned. So I got like a half a month early out.
Like three months, right?
No.
Half a month?
I was supposed to get out January 4th of 97. I got out December 6th, which is D-Day. Whatever D-Day, December 6th or 7th.
That was 23 years ago.
Yeah, and I got out and came home.
And what did you start doing then after that?
Unemployment.
Milk the system.
No, I couldn't find the job. It was the weirdest thing in the world. I came home and I'm looking for jobs and they're telling me I'm not qualified.
How?
You have no work experience.
Hold on, you did 4 years in the military.
It was the funniest thing in the world, man. I came home and I had Gregory at the time, my oldest son, and I didn't have a job. I mean, literally, I came home, I was on unemployment, I'm looking for jobs, nobody would hire me. So I went down to
But hold on. Weren't you living in Georgia for a little bit?
No, that was after a year of being home. When did I move to Georgia? I got out in December of 96. I moved to Georgia in September of 97.
Okay.
Right, yeah, September of 97. So it was like a year later I wound up moving down there because, I mean, things just weren't working out. I went down to the VA, you know, like in the unemployment division. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been there. They have a veterans division of the unemployment.
And this is when veterans
and when they division treat sucked. You like garbage.
I don't know. I mean, it's a lot better now.
It's a hell of a lot better now. From what I hear, I haven't been down there. But I met this guy, and he just was like, yo, you ever think about doing security? I'm like, no. He's like, yo, you could probably get a good job. He sent me down to this. Get the 8-hour class and there's a 16-hour class or whatever the case.
That's to carry a gun, though.
No,
16-hour
no.
class to carry a gun.
No, this was just state requirements.
In New York?
In New York.
Because I was security in VA for Bank of America.
That's how you and Shay had linked back up, right?
Yes.
Right.
He got me in trouble one time.
No, he said you was working trash or something
like that. Yeah, I was working with my brother-in-law
at
that time.
Yeah, he said he was dumping trash.
Yeah.
He called me, he's like, yo, I seen Cheeks. Yo, this dude dumping garbage is my
No, but the bad thing is you had to clean the bathroom and him trying to be a clown.
As always.
You know, you have the sheets if you got to sign in that you clean the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
You can
like
leave a comment.
Like an inspection sheet, right.
Yeah, exactly. And he left a comment that I did a poor job. And I actually got in trouble for that, even though he was clowning around.
Right.
He's like, I got in trouble. He's like, I'm sorry, son.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know, first he's like, word. I'm like, yeah.
Blank look on his face.
He's the only dude that we know that would go to a club and order either orange juice or milk.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else would order real drinks. He would order orange juice or milk.
And he was like,
let
me get that milk. And he'd be like,
what?
With what? With what? Russian? And he's like, just ice or something like that.
No. And then who's the guy? No, was it Shock or was it Shay that got jumped or hit by a dude in a wheelchair? That was Shock.
It sounded like something that happened to Shock.
He came out of the bathroom. He's like, yo, son, I got jumped. This dude jumped out of his wheelchair and hit me. I'm like, how the flip he jumped out?
The dude that used to always be in Mr. Magic.
Really? With the wheelchair?
You know
wheelchair?
What it is? That dude, funny enough, just talking to other people, that dude ran Norfolk and he wound up catching.
How did he run Norfolk when he's in a wheelchair?
He didn't run fast enough because he caught some in the back.
Really?
And that's how he wanted. Because if you remember back then, that dude always used to have some nice looking females with him. He probably
I don't remember anything.
Shay would remember. Maybe Mike and Larry, of course. Well, he was, God bless. But,
Mike was in.
Mike was coming to clubs with us.
Really?
Yeah, Mike
I don't remember Mike.
Shay used to get us in.
Did Mike stay in the car or something?
Nah, Mike used to be in the clubs with us. But the dude used to always have like 2-3 women around him, and he used to sit, and they used to like.
What do you mean he used to sit? He was sitting down.
He was sitting down, right. He's in the wheelchair, and they're pushing him like this, dancing. Like, Mobb Deep would come on.
Yeah.
And they'd be like moving him like this.
Yeah, you can see what he was doing. If you can see.
And he's going like this, right. So that's the funny one. And then the midget that used to hang out in Norfolk Live. You ever seen that before?
No.
Because she used to stand at the bar. like this. Like, I can't even do it.
Yo, he actually got on his knees right now to show.
She'd be at the bar, and she'd be like this. So you go up to get a drink, and you look down. Yo, but the funniest thing, she had to... banging body, yo. I think Shaka hit that. Yeah. I think no, Shaka.
No, Shaka hit anything.
He was like, yeah, remember that midget from North Carolina? Yo, I think Shaka hit that, yo. Really? I swear Shaka hit that.
But, so it was Shaka that got snuffed.
No, I don't think it was one of us. It was somebody else.
No, he was in the bathroom. It was either Shaka or Shay.
It wasn't Shay. It had to be Shaka. Shaka sounds always some shit that happened to fucking Shaka.
We call him Shaka the Prophet. He sounds smooth when he talks. Stop the violence, and then he'll be the first one to grab setting it off.
Yeah, setting it off. But good times, man.
And then so you started working for Brinks, right?
No. Funny enough, when I worked for a company called Guardsmark. I worked in UPS at the Limited.
Okay.
Inside of Mall, Green Acres Mall. And I just couldn't take it. I was living with my parents, and I had Gregory, and, you know, my father.
Shout out, man. I'm telling you, you raised a good kid. He was a single father. I think that's what we had in common.
Another thing we have in common,
we were lucky, because if it wasn't for mom.
And mom, and my father. Well, our parents.
Yeah, our parents.
So it wasn't working out, and Gregory's mother has family in Georgia.
Okay.
So she was like, yo, we can move to Georgia. And I'm like, whatever, let's go. Let's just get out of here. So I just started working like 7 days a week, as much overtime as I could get. And I would just stack money. And then I sent her out there, and I stayed home for like another month or so. So she went out there, found an apartment. And then a month later, I packed up the Tempo.
Yeah, my good times, good times.
Good times, beautiful times. And drove 16 hours with a map.
This is before GPS.
Yeah, before GPS.
To Young Bucks.
Exactly.
Right?
You had to pull over. But you always got there, right? We always got there.
I had a car route.
Because we never asked for directions.
Right. We never.
They had me one time. I did it for 2 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Exterminated. They gave me the whole state of New Jersey.
Really?
So I had maps for every county.
Right. And then I would just pull it out, go to Perth Amboy first time. But once I got there the first time...
I remember.
You have to remember.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, not saying the same, but I know so many bus routes just because out of memory, and you pick up like, oh, there's the White Castle. I make a right turn after that. You know, you pick up these signs and these.
Okay.
You know, but.
But you wouldn't be able to give somebody directions.
That's the funniest thing in the world.
You'd be like, people always gotta ask me. Turn over here if you see a Taco Bell on your left.
Right,
you make that right. You know, you can't give somebody directions. That's not how a mind works.
You know, I always tell people, pull over to a bus stop, and there's always a map right there.
Really? Oh, that's right.
There's always a map.
Yeah.
So if you want to get to a certain part, and you know, say, the Q111 goes there, just follow it. You might take an hour to get there, but you'll get there.
Not really, because you won't be making the same stops. Yeah.
But you'll just follow the same route as the Q111. Okay. Because I've gotten lost in, say, Brooklyn or something like that. Pulled over to a bus stop.
Worst bus driver in New York if you get lost.
Took a picture of it and just followed the map.
How do you get lost in your bus driver?
Because I'm not from Brooklyn.
So
back of my
in my personal car. My personal car.
That little map.
The borough, the five boroughs.
Yes.
I still got it. You know. You
that's remember? An antique. That might be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, right?
It's missing a few pages, but
hey.
Yeah, right?
It's like,
I
don't need to see this female anymore. Let me rip that page out. Let me get rid of this one.
Do they even sell maps now? No.
When you're delivering online tonight to 7-Eleven, you're funny. Check Brian.
You're funny. He makes fun of me because I deliver
online newspapers.
The news.
In the rain.
I am very important because we were still... working when all this coronavirus was going.
Right. When a lot of people weren't, he was still making money.
So how did you go from not working, going to Georgia, to what you're doing now, which is an MTA driver? And especially, because I want to know what was going on, seeing everything shut down and you're driving the bus out there.
I moved back from Georgia. Things didn't work out. I went back to working. Funny enough, the same company, Guardsmark, hired me back.
Okay.
They
still around?
I believe so. They do like a lot of high-profile office builders. I was working on Wall Street, matter of fact. It was 14 Wall when I first moved back. And What happened? Oh, I was looking for another job because they weren't giving me enough hours.
But they just in New York? But they
no, also in I Georgia. Think God's no, no. When I lived in Georgia, I worked at a company called Dobbs. I worked in a freezer that provide the meals for Delta Airlines.
Okay.
So you had to basically stock the ovens.
Okay.
The cold ovens, and they heat the food up on the airplane. So I worked there, and then I worked UPS at night, offloading the shipments that came in on the tractor trailers. And then I quit both of those, and I got an electrical apprenticeship with my ex, well, ex, Gregory's mother's a Jehovah's She's Witness.
Really?
So one of her brothers or sisters from the, you know, wherever they go, from the Kingdom Hall, got me into the apprenticeship program. Okay. Real nice guy. Funny enough, he was deaf. His name was Charles. I never forget.
He remembers everything.
Yeah. His name was Charles. Every detail. Real nice guy. He went deaf. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
And he said he got jumped, and they tried to shoot him, and they put gun, and he moved.
No.
And the gun went off by his ear, and he lost his hearing in one of his ears.
Damn.
But real nice guy. Wound up doing electrical apprentice program, which helped me to this day, because I was able to wire things in my own house and put up, you know, ceiling fans, and you don't have to pay a lot of money for certain things. But left Georgia due to, you know, not wanting to go be on America's Most Wanted. And brought Gregory back, and then was sitting here again with no money. Started working security, and then...
That's how you got into Brinks?
I got into Brinks because I went to a job interview. So it was like a group interview with a bunch of people who wanted a security job. So they gave us a lunch break, went to McDonald's over there on, it's like 20-something street, maybe 24th street and 8th Avenue. I only know that because I passed by there all the time on the bus route. And I went down and I saw one of the guys that was in the class. So I was like, yeah, what's up? He was like, yo, what's up, man? You want to sit over here? I'm like, yeah. So we started talking. Never forget his name. His name was David Dinkins.
No, the ex-mayor, the worst mayor we had in New York.
That was him?
No, yeah, no. It might have been his name, son or something like that. Yeah, it might have been his illegitimate son. So
probably.
We started talking, Air Force veteran.
Really?
So he's like, yo, what are you doing? Well, how come you're not working? This and I'm like, yo, man, I'm out here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. He's like, yo, I work for Brinks. Let me see if I can get you in.
So hold on. Did TJ go in at the same time with you? You get TJ?
No, I saw TJ when I was working there.
But oh, so he was already
working. Working there. But TJ is another friend, Tejada, who was in the military with us. And he was working in the Diamond
District. We lost contact. So TJ, if you're here, reach out.
Yeah. So he was working in the Diamond District with the gold bars and the jewels when I was on the truck. So I wound up getting a job for Brinks. And I got my CDL through Brinks for free.
Okay.
And then applied to, you know, every city job like everybody else does. And got in with the post office first, stayed there for almost 3 years, and then got called for transit. And been doing that for the past 16 plus.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. 16 plus.
So you've been doing MTA right now for six, so you got like 4 more years to the job.
No, 10. It's 25, 55. So when
the coronavirus hit, what did you see when they were shutting stuff down? You said you saw some crazy stuff going on.
In the beginning, it was weird because people they didn't move fast. I can't blame them because it's something new to everybody.
Correct.
So we all heard pandemic, but nobody really believed. I guess just being in the day and age that we live in, that a pandemic's going to happen. Okay. It's because we have so much technology, and how come you don't have something set up already, and you guys should be on top of this, whoever you guys are, because there's always, they should do this, but who are they?
Yeah, they always want to blame,
everybody's pointing the finger.
So whether left or right, we're all pointing the finger at each other.
Right, so in the beginning, it was, they make announcements on the bus every 10 minutes about safety. Okay. So if it's about slow down, or pulling to the stop 5 miles an hour, or whatever the case is.
Did you stop allowing people coming to the front of the bus
Not at that point in time. Not in the beginning. People, for some odd reason, want to ride in the front by the door. For whatever reason.
Now, because every time everybody gets on the bus, they want to drive in the back.
The handicap. So, but before that, for 16 years, people prior to this, people always want to come up in the front. So when this COVID thing started coming on, people were coming to the front, and you're like, yo, you mind stepping back, you know? But this is before we knew, well, whatever, they say they went airborne. Okay. Because at first it was wash your hands, don't shake hands, and all this kind of thing. And they were saying these, they started saying these announcements on the bus. And that's when I knew something was going on.
Okay.
Because they stopped making safety announcements about driving. They were just like, every 10 minutes now, it's wash your hands.
What precautions the drivers were taking? You had to wear masks?
No.
Nothing. They didn't tell you anything.
In the very beginning, everybody...
So you could have been exposed.
But that's why transit got hit so hard.
Okay.
Because we're exposed to so many people in close proximities.
Yeah.
Subway, bus, you know, whatever. We're enclosed in a vehicle with 50, 60 people at the same time, and you're the one person. You might be separated by... this little
divider
they finally put up after all these years.
But that was to protect you from violence.
Right. Which, in the beginning, I didn't like it. Now I do, because I don't have to worry about opening the door and somebody throwing a bottle at me, because it's gonna bounce off the
window. And that's happened before.
Not to you, but
I've had colleagues.
I've had water bottles thrown at me for stupid reasons. Recently, I had a guy throw a water bottle at me. During the pandemic,
really?
He's in a rush to go wherever he wants to go in the pandemic, and threw a water bottle at me, but it hit the glass.
Okay.
So he pulls up in front and then puts the parking brake on, puts his car in park. He got ready to get popping, you know? It's like, all right, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do.
Wait, hold on. So he...
He cut me off, threw the water bottle. The water bottle hits the thing. It didn't hit me, no water splash.
I thought he was someone coming onto the bus.
No. He's in this personal vehicle. I'm merging out of traffic with my signal on, and he wants to, as I was saying earlier, nobody wants to get stuck behind the bus.
No.
So he pulls up besides me, on the side of me, on the left side, and throws a water bottle, and it was full, like, don't you want to drink that? So it hits the glass on the outside, falls on the ground, and I'm like, you know what? It didn't splash on me, it didn't hit me. I don't need this. It's a, you know, all this nonsense
going on. But your attitude
on.
Like that is now, but at the beginning, you would have probably jumped out the bus.
No.
No, even when you started?
No. When I started, I never really, funny enough, I was in the Bronx, and I never got any problems.
Really?
Because I just always had the attitude.
We have a bad rep in the Bronx.
Yeah, understandably, you know.
Going into Washington Heights, early in the morning, they sent me to do one whole street, right?
Yeah.
I got my box with all my equipment. I'm not going to carry it up the stairs, right? Mm-hmm. So I used to go put it behind the stairwell.
Yeah, because there was a little...
Yeah, and what do I find there? All those little crack bales.
Yeah.
And I caught three guys. All three of us got scared.
At the same time? Yeah.
I said, oh, shit, they were smoking
their pipe.
Yeah.
I called my boss up. I said, listen.
Never coming back over here.
Not coming back here. Yeah. Unless you send somebody with me.
Right.
And this is in the Bronx.
Washington Heights.
Okay. Because I was going to say, aren't you from the Bronx?
Yeah, I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Mostly my route was in Manhattan. And then later on, they started sending me to the Bronx.
Yeah.
Because I was in Fordham University there for about 6 years.
Yeah, he was in Fordham for a while, right before you retired.
No, before that, they sent me... to do about three hospitals in the Bronx. Montefiore, Albert Einstein, the Hebrew Home in Riverdale.
Okay.
No, oh, I know about that. Yeah, the BX7 and the Tango.
And a few apartment buildings there.
Okay.
So that was my thing.
Wow. So how long did you...
Driving. Exterminator.
Yeah.
Oh, exterminator. Okay.
Yeah, but I had a car route or a truck route when I started. Long Island.
Wow. So you got a lot of stories. We might have to get to him.
Yeah. Because he'll tell you a lot of stuff about the '60s or '70s in New York and '80s and.
No, but even us in '80s and '90s.
In the
'80s
and
'90s, like a lot of the stuff that they.
Doesn't matter how high class these restaurants are. Me as an exterminator, the kitchen is where I see everything.
Yeah,
really.
I see.
So it was actually bad back then because you guys weren't as strict as they are now.
Right. They didn't have those letter, the grades.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No grade. All we had is an ESR sheet, which okay. is called Exterminator's Service Sheet, where every time we finish exterminating, we're supposed to put the time, the day we were there, what chemicals we used, and comment. And then have him sign the receipt. And then I used to tell him, listen, man, under all your counters, man, you got tomato, you got onions. Right now, growing that green long leaf.
Yeah.
That's been there for ages.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The drainage is clogged up. You got little gnats flying around. You have to take the cap off, or those things they lift up, and clean the drains. I'll have my man on it. You come back the next time, it's still the same way.
Wow. And how long were you an exterminator?
Close to 30 years.
Wow. And you saw that. I can imagine what you saw.
I seen all.
No, and I mean, now it's a lot better, but I can imagine what you saw back then when they didn't have the rules that they
have
now.
Yeah, the grading system.
When I started, it was the tank only.
Okay.
It was compressed there. I had
you had to pump it.
A small little machine that would pump air into it.
Okay.
I had the 2 gallon tank.
Yeah.
It's about this big. And we were using dioxin, which now is banned because it came out as it could cause cancer.
Yeah. I think everything could cause cancer back then, right?
But we used to mix concentrate and the rest is all water.
Okay.
But you had to know exactly how to measure. They'll tell you, the bottle will tell you.
Wow.
How much ounces you put into a 2 gallon. And then just take it with me, carry that with me, and go to wherever I had to go, and it was all spraying.
Wow. Man, we definitely got to get stories from you.
Yeah.
Everything. So then, come back.
So the guy comes back on the side, and bing. He's on some, yo, I'm going to shoot you. So, me being the sarcastic, I'm like, yo, I've never seen a gangster in a Nissan Rogue before. What are you talking about? Like, who are you going to shoot? If you're going to shoot, you're going to shoot already. Like, people who shoot don't talk about shooting. They just start shooting.
Yeah.
Right. Yo, fuck you. Fuck MTA. And yeah. So, but getting back, in the beginning, nobody knew it was airborne. So, it was, they started with the social distancing thing and all this kind of stuff. But MTA didn't give us masks until, I would say, a month into the real heart of the pandemic. I didn't get a mask. The only reason I got a mask is because my wife works in the hospital.
Yeah.
And she would bring home masks because obviously she's scared for my safety because...
Of course.
I'm front line, right. And that too, right.
Both of you guys. And you got
exactly. She works in the hospital. Yeah. I work in for MTA. So I'd say about a month in, transit really started stepping their game up. They started giving us masks. They actually started cleaning the buses, like really cleaning. Like to this day now, they have people out there who just clean buses.
Yeah, like the subways.
Right. Wow. So, but when it first started, they shut everything down in phases. So you would think you would be driving these routes and it was supposed to be for essential workers. And certain pitches in New York was like, oh, New York is empty. That's nonsense.
See?
Tourist places went empty. 42nd Street, I can't say 34th, because 34th is nothing but junkies. On 8th Avenue by Penn Station is nothing but junkies out there. So certain pockets had people. But when you went down to 14th Street or you went up...
Just looked normal.
Right. It was normal because the food places like Trader Joe's was open, Whole Foods was open. There were certain places were open, and it was just, where are you going? These people like out and about in Union Square, walking around, the bus is packed, and you're thinking your brain.
But see, that's what I'm saying, that if you were to listen to what they tell you on the news,
right,
it's a lie because they're not telling you the facts. They just want to tell you your opinion.
Right.
And then that's exactly why I'm here, because I wanted to hear exactly what you saw down there during the pandemic and now with the movement of BLM, Black Lives Matter.
Right.
You know? So, what difference did you see when you saw the virus and now that you saw the protesting? Because I guess they had to shut a lot of stuff down too as well.
Funny enough, I ran into the protesters maybe 3 times, but the first time I bust a left on a one-way and I'm out.
So you went up a one-way just to get away from that?
I'm out. Because you're not going to move. Like, you're literally...
And if you get close to them, they think you're trying to do something, and they're going to start...
There were buses in the beginning that...
throwing whatever.
Right. Because yeah, you... I don't know if you saw the video of the sister, the black sister who spoke and broke down protesters, rioters, and looters. Mm-hmm. And she broke it down perfectly. So you have your protesters who are the peaceful people.
Which is the every day. Early. There'll be about 3-4 o'clock mm-hmm. protesting peacefully.
Right. And then you have your rioters who are the ones who are angry. They're going to start breaking, whatever the case. And then you have your looters who are just there to steal.
Yeah.
So once the rioters start, then the looters are going to come in and start taking whatever. But the first time I was going down Broadway, about, what was that, about 8th Street. I busted right on 8th Street. I was on the M55. And then I saw the protesters. The next left I could... take, because I had a short bus, so you can move them buses how you want.
You can move
them. I can move them, right.
Oh, you didn't have the accordion.
No, I didn't have the, I didn't have that. So I bust the left, took it all the way down. I hit Houston. I was going to come back. I looked down Houston shut down. They posted some down there.
Really?
I took all the way down to Canal Street, because the 55 goes all the way down to the ferry, to the South Ferry. And I got to the ferry, and then my last trip coming up was no problem. There was a protest on 14th Street, but they were moving along. It was in the beginning that it was unrest and chaos.
Yeah.
And they were graffitiing buses and doing stupid stuff.
They were showing that it was unrest and chaos mm-hmm. all the time.
I wasn't out there all the time. I think in the beginning, when we were out there, you felt the tension, because look what happened.
No, it's understandable.
Right, so obviously we're angry. You know, we're tired. Enough's enough. It's embedded in your brain since you were.
Which is one thing that I saw, because you have a lot of cop friends.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people. I have several families that are police officers.
Right.
I have friends that are police officers. Mm-hmm. And what got me upset is that you see people coming on Instagram. Police officers, you see, they come and doing videos on YouTube that we're not all like that. That we are; those are the bad cops,
right.
But they're never around when you need the good cops. Never stand up when you need them. Like all,
right.
like when that was happening to George Floyd,
mm-hmm.
the other cop, which you can never, because right now with Derek Chauvin mm-hmm. and Tao Thao, which is the
Asian
cop,
one, right.
You can never forget. Instead of him turning around and saying, you don't need to do that, he turned around to the people that were filming or the people that were screaming, get off
his
neck. You know,
right, right.
You know what he told him? He like, don't do drugs. Really?
He said that?
Yeah, don't do drugs. It's your man right now is choking, torturing basically. I say he's tortured before he killed him.
Right.
Tortured him, and you turn around to them and say, don't do drugs?
Like they're on mushrooms and they're hallucinating what they're watching or something like that. No, it's
like you hear and because you can hear the voices, the older gentleman said, like, get off his neck.
Yeah,
yo, it's done. He's done.
Yeah,
like what more can you do? And he looked like he was enjoying it. So
he was.
When you come online and say all cops are not like that, where are you? Because when stuff like that happens, the good cops never stand up.
Yeah,
except for this one that got suspended this weekend.
Who
was that?
A cop had a chokehold on somebody in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And...
Because Cuomo outlawed it.
Right.
But it should have been outlawed from the beginning.
But he had him down the floor with the chokehold.
Right.
But then one of the cops said, let him go and pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
He's suspended now without pay.
Well, the one that was choking, or the
happened now because they know that they're gonna get fired if they don't do it because of what happened with the. Listen, I don't condone the protest because there was a lot of rioting, looting. I mean, I'm talking about that
but
part.
People were coming
but
from different states.
But if it wasn't because of that,
mm-hmm.
they were never arrested.
If remember during the LA riots, they stayed in their own neighborhoods and fine, go destroy your own neighborhoods. I don't care. But what happened during this one is they started going into Soho.
Madison,
I can say
Soho,
in New York.
Okay, but that was just, okay, but if you look at everyone except maybe California,
mm-hmm.
when they hit...
No, they were hitting hard in Cali, too.
Okay, but New York and Cali were hitting mm-hmm. these high-end places.
High-end places, right.
But then after they finished, where they were going? Fordham.
But that was just...
Burnside.
And I don't even think that was... protest, I think that was just opportunists.
Of course.
Who just said, let's use this opportunity to go and Luthi's stores.
No, I and
because they were stealing from these little 10-carat gold chain spots. Yeah, like they that sell speakers outside. Yeah, right. You know, cell phone.
And in the back, you get a tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
like you really want to go in there and get a tattoo.
Right. That they had nothing to do with what happened to Mr. Floyd. So
no.
Those were opportunities. No, opportunists. Excuse me.
No, and I understand that part. Right. And what I'm saying that if it wasn't for that I don't think they would have arrested these cops because they would have still been out.
Right. Because remember, they didn't arrest them in the beginning.
Yeah.
It took a while. Took
3 days. 3 days to Chauvin, and it took almost a week.
And no one was out. He was in Costco's.
I sent you the link.
Yeah, yeah, you sent it to me. Yes, yes, yes.
He was just chilling.
He's chilling. Like, and the lady's like, yo, what are you doing?
Like, you shouldn't even be out. No. None of us would have been out.
But the justice system does give you the right for bail.
Okay.
He was bailed out. No matter how much his bail was, somebody put...
It was like, I think, 750 grand.
So somebody put up 75,000, and he's out. It's 10%, if I'm not mistaken.
First of all, you got some big balls. If you're still walking around Minneapolis. And where was he at?
It looked like Sam's he was Club? In like Sam's or something like that.
And he's walking around like he's chilling.
Yeah. He grew his beard out, so he's trying to... You better put some glasses on
but
him.
He was a minority too, right? Half black,
he
half
looks,
white?
He looks like a minority. Yeah, I'm not sure.
He looks like a twin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, a little bit lighter with freckles. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now, you doing all that, right? You driving the MTA and right now with Black Lives Matter. Do you know why I started this podcast? Because I heard someone on Instagram saying, you know what? F that. No lives matter unless Black Lives Matter first.
No.
I'm like, you know what? No. That doesn't make sense. No.
I think people are getting the message twisted because we're not... I'm not part of this whole Black Lives Matter, whatever. You're Hispanic, I'm black, my father's Indian, right?
And were you ever oppressed?
No.
Did anyone stop you from buying a house?
No. No.
Getting a good job?
No. You.
It was the decisions you made.
The decisions I made to join the military and from that point forward.
Because if we continue, like I was telling you, when we spoke about this when we went bike riding, and I was telling you that if we continue to group people...
Right.
Right? If we continue to put everyone in a group where all blacks are in a group, all blacks are criminals. If we continue to put all Hispanics in a group, we're immigrants. But then also, if we continue to put all whites in a group,
they're
racist.
All white supremacists and all this kind of thing.
Which is wrong. But if you look at the protests. As an individual.
If you look at the protests, most of the people out front are white. But if you look in the civil rights movement, a lot of the people, I can't say most, I can't speak for that point in time. I've seen video.
Mm-hmm.
But there were plenty of whites out there, like, what you guys are doing is wrong.
No,
like,
of course, of course.
Systematically oppressing these people. What do you expect? Like, enough's enough. Like, now it's just enough's enough, man.
Well, I think that was the, what happened to Floyd was, like, almost like the perfect storm.
Because of all that was going on. Everybody's home.
They had this energy, this pent-up energy.
And somebody said that. If this were to happen and it wasn't a pandemic, the pushback wouldn't have been as hard.
It would have been a protest, but I think it would have been more stabilized. It would have been just more on
Minnesota. Right. It would have been like every other one.
Yeah.
Oh, they got off. Oh, we knew they was going to get off. Eric Garner,
nothing happened in New York.
That's murder. Yeah. You choked this man.
Or a Lucy, and they never found a Lucy. And it took, 3 years to get him fired?
He's back working. These people are getting jobs again,
which is what they're trying now. Right. What what they're trying to do right now. I forgot what it was, but they're trying to sign up where, and I have it on my phone. Mm-hmm. Where Trump signed something.
No. Oh, I read that
now
if you get convicted, lose your job.
You can't go to another force.
I agree with that.
Okay. Exactly.
No. I agree. It's
see, he always tried to attack me like I was trying. Like anything I say, you know what's so funny about this? These leftists, which I'm going to call you a leftist because you
leftist.
Are. A dummycrat, you know?
I'm not a Democrat.
A libtard, whatever you want to call yourself. A Bernie supporter, which is even worse.
No. Because I don't think any of these people can handle a job.
No, which is they only look at the negative he's done.
Like what positive has he done?
Really?
I mean, in all honesty, man.
Really?
I know we're going to get to this point eventually.
No, but which is...
And whatever positive things that he's done has been overshadowed by...
By him speaking?
His speaking. I don't even think it's him.
All of a sudden, we get offended now in the Hispanic community, in the black community, the way he talks, because he speaks his mind. When Spanish people, my mother reads the Bible, and then 2 hours later she's cursing.
So you're saying he's a hypocrite?
No, we all hypocrites.
To a degree, we all hypocrites.
So all of a sudden, right. The president. So when Bill Clinton banged out Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office, nobody said anything. That was okay.
Allegedly,
he was a Democrat. Allegedly, she had the dress. I know. You know, which that was weird right there.
But
she talked.
Huh? Listen, that was a whole setup. You holding that dress for a year?
But what? That's another subject. Why would you impeach a president for lying about having sex with another woman? That just makes no sense. Which, and the other countries were laughing at us.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Isn't the hypocrisy where you said why they're trying to impeach him?
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to impeach Trump for Russia collusion, which they...
You can't... evidence. There's no evidence at this point.
They want to blame everything to him, who's only been in office for 4 years in politics.
No, I think... In my opinion, because...
Yes, remember, say that again. Okay. In your...
And this is just...
Your opinion, right?
Okay. In my opinion, the president of the United States doesn't affect my life at all. And I'll tell you why.
Neither one of us.
Right. Because he affects the very top and he affects the very bottom. If you're a working class person, you go to work, you pay your bills, whatever, you know, yada, yada, yada. You're not affected by his policies.
Because you can find whatever job that would pay your bills.
Right.
Because and no offense, whoever works at McDonald's.
McDonald's is paying $15 an hour now.
So if you lose your job, you can get a job.
You can get a job
and still pay your bills.
Listen, if you want to work, there's people, F this and this. No, you can. If you want a job, you can find a job.
Exactly.
You might have to take a step back and work at Target for 3 months until something else better comes
home. But this is the problem that I'm having is that you hear a lot of people right now with the Black Lives Movement that feel they were oppressed or they were held back by a certain race, which is the white race.
I think in the South.
Okay, but we're not in the South. We're up here.
Right, but we're speaking as a movement. So if I'm... I can't say I'm part of the Black Lives Movement because I don't know their agenda. Like Cuomo said, like, okay, all these protests and things are fine. What's your agenda? After everything settles down, hopefully these cops are convicted, right? What's the agenda after that? What are you going to bring to the table to say, okay, this is what we want?
Okay. Let's say they want to get Trump out, that's their agenda, get Trump out.
So your agenda is go in November and vote.
I forgot her name. The co-founder said, we can't have this man in office. Our agenda is to get him out.
So then get every Black person that you can and registered.
Put who in office? Biden, who's been in for 47 years?
Everybody's saying anybody but Trump.
If you don't vote for him, you're not Black.
There's plenty of people that's going to vote for Biden, but it doesn't have to do with Black or whatever. A lot of people just don't want Trump.
These are the people that say, like Don Lemon, right, who said... That America is bad because of what old white men. But he's married to, not an old white man, but he's married to a white man. So the hypocrisy of saying that.
But that's like saying a person's like, I'm not racist, a white man. I mean.
No. I don't have the problem of you saying that. I'm saying is your hypocrisy of coming on and saying that the problem with the United States is old white man. Old white man. I mean, he's not married to an old man, but you're married to a white man.
But it doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter when it comes to...
Sometimes it's not about racism. Right. You might be discrimination.
Everybody has their stereotypes about other races or certain things.
Of course.
That, like, say I drive a bus and I deal with every race every day on the basis of...
And who's the worst?
There is no worst. It's across the board. It's not a...
It all depends on how you wake up that day.
It depends on the person. So one day it might be a white. One day it might be an Asian. It could be a Hispanic. It could be a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that person comes on the bus, and in that moment, that person is
having a bad day. Yeah.
They're having a bad life.
But that's what I'm saying, that if that white person is having a bad day and says something to you, a minority, a black man, first thing in your mind, not in your mind, but in general, he's racist.
No.
Yes.
I don't look at people as racist.
I forgot the lady that pointed the finger at Obama when she was talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said? Oh, she's racist. She's pointing the finger at him.
people just speak with their hands sometimes. Right.
Because we're grouping the people, because if I group you and I see you with Courtney, with Shay, with Shaka, I know you guys, and you're chilling in the corner.
Right.
How many people are going to think bad of you, not knowing that you guys have good careers, you guys are married.
Veterans. Things, right.
But we're not judging you on you. We're judging you on your skin tone.
But that's like you...
But that's everyone.
But that's like you coming out of your mother's apartment in the Bronx and people looking at you, because there's white people in that neighborhood now.
No, not in my mom.
Not too far from there. They do have Starbucks and all these things. So.
No, I don't see a Star. They had a Boston Market. I think they shut down because they weren't making...
The last time I was up there... Well, besides the lady...
No, in the South Bronx, or are you talking about Uptown?
When I was... there recently, I believe this is the last time I was there, was after your father passed.
Okay.
And there was people, it looked like they were trying to gentrify the neighborhood. It might not be working. There was a lady that was dancing in the middle of the street.
Crackhead. What are you talking about?
But they were still, it looked like there was still white people in the area, which years ago, when I used to go see you on occasions, like, there was none. There was nothing up there. They're trying to take... It's going to be hard. It wasn't like Spanish Harlem and Harlem.
Yeah.
Like, his building now is all Asians. Yeah. Right? Mostly... Is a lot of Asians there now?
They've been there for a while. Even longer than me. But, yeah, there's more Asians that you could see them early in the morning.
Yeah.
They're doing exercise.
The Tai Chi.
But they made the community a lot better.
How?
Why? Because...
He lives in the co-op building. He doesn't live in the projects.
No. Because when you diversify the community and you have different types of backgrounds, I think it's a lot better than just having just one group.
Agreed.
Because, hold on, when I grew up, and I know a lot of people that I grew up with is going to hear this. When I grew up, I was maybe one of two Ecuadorian families there. And every time they would ask me, what the flip are you doing in the South Bronx? Because they felt that I belong in Roosevelt.
But who was that?
Puerto Ricans and blacks.
I guess
because I grew up with Puerto Ricans and blacks.
I guess
no, not that they hated me. It's just it was a joke. And like, what the flip are you doing here? Because in the South Bronx, all you saw was I grew up with Puerto Ricans and blacks.
Like you said, you don't want to be grouped in, right?
No.
Me growing up, I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens, all black
Rochdale
neighborhood. Rochdale Co-op, sir. It's not
no,
a project.
Now it's co-op.
It was always co-op. Rochdale was never
co-op. But
they
weren't called co-op back then.
It was always co-op.
But Larry came out of there. How did he become hood?
No, Larry grew up in St. Albans. Larry Graber grew up in one of the most prestigious neighborhoods in Queens.
Okay.
So,
another story. That's
growing up in an all black neighborhood, there were no Hispanics. Okay. I was the only minority. I was the only Indian kid in the
And you said your nickname was what? Gupta?
Exactly. It wants to start. Right. Pedro wants to start.
Yeah.
So, if I went to your neighborhood and saw you. And say it was you, a Puerto Rican guy, and a Dominican guy. I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah.
Back then, growing up, as an older person and being more cultured, you can look at somebody. Like we were talking earlier when I went to Dick's. There were two Hispanic males walking. I don't know what they were. So I didn't want to say they were Mexican.
Sporting Goods.
Yeah. So I didn't want to say there were these two Mexican guys in front of me. I was just like... These two Hispanic males in front of me.
Because every time you
I don't
see,
know what they
because
are.
Because every time, you know what it is? Every time they see Hispanics, there's only two race in
Mexican,
Hispanic. Mexican and Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know any, well, now Dominicans, but y'all don't know anything else about it.
Because
my daughter right now is in the military, and she goes over there, and they tell her, well, where are you from? I'm from the Bronx. Oh, my dad is Ecuadorian, and my mother's
What's
black.
What's an Ecuadorian, right?
What is an Ecuadorian?
But you got that in the club.
Exactly. No.
In Norfolk, she was like, he was like, Ecuadorian.
No, but because he thought I was Mexican.
Right. She was like, what are you, Mexican? He's like, no, I'm Ecuadorian. She's
what
like,
is an
what's
Ecuadorian?
An Ecuadorian?
But that's okay.
So we're like, someone from Ecuador? Ecuador?
I
like,
understand
on,
that. Man. That was the 90s.
That was the 90s.
But we're talking about 2020 and she's still getting
We're
that.
Talking about 2020
and
a lot of things
Kansas.
Haven't changed. But think about it. Kansas... Okay. You got time?
Yeah. We're almost running out of time. But I mean, I wanted to get your side of the story, only because I feel that some people say that blacks and Hispanics live a certain way, But I always say that it's the decisions we make, but is the way we live. Because I'll be honest with you, mm-hmm. you live a certain way because you kept making the correct decisions. Not at the beginning.
No, yeah, but no, you I did.
Decisions the beginning of my, to better yourself.
I tell people first all of the all, time. First
of all, you were a single father.
Yes.
Okay, I'm, which I is had, rare.
I you say single, but I had a lot of help, man.
Well, okay, I did the same thing.
Right, we always had help. At the end of the
day, we had our mother's help, but we were still a single father.
Right.
When I mean single father,
the mother wasn't around. Okay. Yes. Then, but Victor is the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you knew exactly. this. Yeah, okay. Victor's the same.
See?
Yeah.
So we got three people right here, three men that were single fathers.
Right.
Because we get a bad rep on that. So oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
I tell you, they thought my daughter, they thought my daughter was going to be, like, she's going to be out there because of me. But then you met, and just short story, you met Michelle.
Right.
Getting married,
mm-hmm.
and Victor is actually Michelle's dad, mm. so that's your father-in-law right yes. here, who's in front of us.
Yes.
So you met Michelle, you got married, had Jaden.
Yes.
But during that time, you bought a house,
mm-hmm.
so you got Puerto Rican girl, Puerto Rican woman, a minority black man, mm-hmm. or I would say only minority, but black man, half Indian.
Right.
And you wanted to do certain things. Nobody ever stopped you. So you got to buy the house. Basically, the American dream.
Yes.
2.5 children, a dog, Lola, and you had the other dog.
Right.
And a house, picket white fence. But
yeah.
And no, has anyone stopped? Was there a white man stopping you?
No. You have to have that drive and that what do you call it? The tunnel vision. So, but you were
stopped because of your skin color?
No, because I always got good jobs and I always worked and did with that. But that's not the mindset of everybody.
But because we are fed a certain story and we eat it and we think we're oppressed.
Who is we?
We as in sense the minorities that somebody's holding us back from doing something. So if I want to become a doctor, mm-hmm. oh no, I got this person holding me back. They're stopping me from being a doctor.
The funny thing is,
but you, exactly.
And
you grew up in one of the, when the Bronx was bad.
Yeah, the Bronx was
very bad.
But I don't know anybody like that. And it's funny coming from a middle class, I can't even say middle class, say lower middle neighborhood. All my friends, I can't say associates, but all the people I know all did well. We all did well. And we don't, you didn't associate yourself with these people, you know, who were out there and had that mentality. I don't know anybody with that mentality.
No, you're right.
I mean, honestly.
Well, because of the decision you made. I got a group of friends, too.
Right, and you all did well.
They all did well. They're still
hard
alive.
Hard working and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a few who might have went to jail or...
Yeah, I have.
I mean, you know, whatever the case is.
I mean, that's why I wanted to get your story, a different perspective. You got your ear to the ground, your everyday working Joe, just like you, Victor, and that's why I wanted to do this.
Right.
Because I wanted to hear, because a lot of people interview people that are already successful.
Right, actors, celebrities and for inspiration.
I wanted to interview but why aren't the we everyday,
inspiration?
Exactly.
We should be inspiration should. As well. Because
I see your son and everything, and well-mannered, well-respected.
Right.
And I guarantee you that you're his hero. But we don't see that, and we don't grow up
as well as your daughter. You know, who's a veteran now. She's in the military, serving our country. Very proud of her. No, yeah.
You know.
And she was always well-mannered.
Yeah.
You know, hi, Mr. Greg. And, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
No, but I appreciate your time. You know, I appreciate you speaking your mind. You too, Vic. Hey, you came out of nowhere. Thank you. You know what? We'll do this again. We'll try to get some more time. And you know what? Again, you know, if we're on Apple Podcast, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud, and now iVox that I know. So, hey, just if you like it, subscribe. If you don't, I really don't care. Yeah, take care. Thank you, Victor.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Greg.
Salute.
It's been a pleasure.